knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Why don't you go first?
Well, my bright spot, we were actually just talking about it. We haven't recorded since it dropped, but we were guests on the past times with Dave and Gareth of the Dollop Podcast.
Yeah, what fun.
It was a delightful time, and it was great, and people have enjoyed it, so that's nice.
Yeah, and it filled in for our Monday episode.
Yeah.
It gave us an excuse to do a Wednesday and
exactly.
Friday this week.
It's
one of our early... I don't remember if we had started this show yet when we went to go see the Dollop together, but that was an early, a night out for the two of us.
It may
that wasn't just screaming
been,
at a bar.
No, it may literally have been less than a week or two into us recording this show.
Yeah, I mean, it had to have been the proximity.
It was early.
I can't remember. It was at the Athenaeum.
Yep.
And I can't remember if it was before or after you dragged me to that British comedian
that I didn't like. It was after, I want to say. And Dylan Moran's Irish, all right? There's a difference.
So, yeah, there's something really weird about, being in that place and with these people that, like, you have a history of listening to. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's just what a treat.
Yeah, it is. It's just great. It's just really fun.
You got to yell a lot.
It was reaffirming. It was nice that I think there was a small part of me that was worried that Gareth and I might get into the infinite riff, which I think early on we made it through about one sentence.
The Jablonski affair.
For about 15 minutes, yeah. So, yeah.
But you were being egged on by both me and Dave.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not...
We were doing it.
It was scary that you might be matter and antimatter coming
yeah,
together
exactly.
And destroying the universe.
Yeah.
But, I for my end of it, I did not know that we were video recording.
No, didn't know that at all.
And so, for one thing, when we were recording this, I couldn't see Dave or Gareth.
Nope.
I could only see a slot between them.
Yep.
So I couldn't react to any of their facial expressions.
Nope.
And I didn't know we were recording, so I was vaping a whole bunch. And I feel... I was so scared when the episode was like, it's coming out on video.
Oh, boy.
Fuck.
What you gonna do?
What about the kids? I'm setting a bad example for the kids with this vape.
It was nice to be like, oh, thank God. Whenever I saw it, because I've seen myself when we've recorded remotely, where it's like, oh, this needs to be audio only, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. You look like you're in a hostage cave somewhere or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you looked fine. You looked, I think, how people expected.
Yep, about the way. Yeah, you look great. You
Thanks.
Look good. Yep.
Too much vaping, though.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
That'll happen.
No one has said that to me. It's only my own.
It's in your head entirely. I don't think anybody even has a too much or not enough vaping judgment for you.
I definitely don't think there's no one who's saying not enough.
It's hard to imagine a not enougher.
Bump it
but
up.
But I'm sure, listen, this is America. There's a not enougher out there.
That's true. There's probably some competitive vapors that are like, you're soft.
God, there's totally competitive vapors that are like, you're soft.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah, what's your bright spot?
So, on Sunday,
yes,
I was thrilled to go to the George Lucas talk show in person at the Den Theater.
Yeah.
I've loved that show for a long time.
Yep.
Connor Ratliff, Garrett, not Gareth,
Griffin,
and Patrick, they're just fantastic. I love the show.
You got to see Watto?
Got to see Watto.
Yep.
Got to see him be introduced to stage as Watto because the person... And then he had an argument with the guy on the God mic about his introduction. Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Just such a great time. Like, it's such stupid shit and so funny. I really was like, fuck, I'd love to meet these people because I look up to them.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, I'm just a person who goes to these shows.
Sure.
Like, I'm just going to the show. I just want to be part of the crowd and enjoy
sometimes
this.
You're just going to a show.
Yeah.
Ah.
So I get there and I sit in my seat like a guy.
Like a good boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it dawns on me that I don't know who the guests are.
Like, oh,
for
no.
this show.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So I have no idea who... I'd never even thought about, like, okay, they're doing a show in Chicago.
Sure.
Who would likely be their guests?
Right.
And so I'm just sitting there, twiddling my thumbs. Who walks by me but Colt Cabana? Who
what?
We kind of know.
Yes, yeah. We are proximarily knowing him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would recognize me for sure.
Yes,
we've
absolutely.
We've spoken at a
we
wedding.
We went to a wedding together. Yeah, absolutely.
So... I was like, psst, 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 psst,
Colt. Yeah.
And he did not look. And I felt like the stupidest fucking person in the world because I probably should have considered, oh, yeah, Colt might
you
be a guest on this.
You should have just said hello, yeah.
No.
Oh.
I should have contacted him in advance.
Yeah.
And then I probably could have met Watto.
You could have hung out with them, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So anyway, that didn't happen, but the show was great and it was a lot of fun.
You're such a quitter sometimes.
Yeah.
You just... Just go like, oh, I missed. Hey, Colt, that nobody would care.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I probably could have. And there was a part of me that thought about sticking around afterwards just to say hi.
Just to say hi.
But then it was like, I don't want to do it.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's just
it was
not
crowded.
Necessarily.
And
yeah.
It was hopping off the chains.
Yeah.
And what have you. And I wanted to go home. So anyway, it was a treat and a thrill. George Lucas did, I think, 5 shots of Malort on stage.
Oof, that's too many shots of Malort.
Utterly lost control of the hosting of the show.
Absolutely.
But it's fantastic.
I believe you.
So anyway, today we have an episode to go over is not as fantastic as that.
That's unsurprising.
Yeah. It's an episode of Alex Jones' show.
Okay, that's no good.
We'll be talking about November 14th, 2025.
All right.
Epstein stuff continues to be a problem.
How?
Because more stuff is coming out.
What are we doing? Do something or I don't shit or get off the pot time. I feel like that's where we're at, right?
And I think that's this interesting stretch that we're in here where, you know, I'm back to looking at a day at a time again.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we're in a moment where, like, shit's breaking.
Yeah.
And Alex is... in a state where he knows he has to do something different and he can't
do it.
And I think that's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's a microscope kind of moment.
Being trapped in a box that you can see is very different from being trapped in a box that is clear, you know,
and it's a box that everyone else can see.
Yeah.
And no one can deny.
Nope.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
And this episode's a mess too. So we'll go over that here in a second.
Ooh.
But first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wants.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, since I wasted my shout-out on a joke shout-out, say my name, Hentron. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, thanks for not listening to the old man in the background yelling, say no, when I asked you to marry me. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And stay away from my scat hole. It's full of scat. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And we had a technocrat in the mix, Jordan.
Ooh.
So thank you so much to Ratlegs. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Jar Jar Binks, notably not at the George Lucas Talk Show, is replaced as sidekick by Watto a number of years back.
I don't think Chicago likes Jar Jar.
What?
I think there's a huge anti-Jar Jar sentiment in Chicago, specifically.
I don't know. I think there's a reclamation of Jar Jar that's going
you
on.
You think so?
Well, they tried to do that with the, like, maybe he was evil all along.
Sure.
And his fumbling was an act.
Not going
to
happen.
That was an attempt to reclaim.
Yeah.
And now it's just kind of funny.
No, he sucks. The end. You can't reclaim him. I've watched people try and reclaim so much shit lately. I saw somebody just published a thing about Mallrats trying to reclaim that shit. Mm-hmm. Fuck off. Get out of here. Leave that shit in the 90s.
Yeah. I was listening to an episode of Scott Aukerman's podcast. Yeah. Scott hasn't seen.
Yeah.
Chris Gethard was on, and they were talking about Mallrats.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me reflect on how much of that shit was like, just fucking street jokes.
Yep.
Like
100%.
I don't know how much of that was even original.
Nope. I mean it is. It was so, like, I get why people think it's funny, but those are street jokes. Those are, god damn it. Comedy sucks.
Yeah. So does Alex.
Mm-hmm.
And Epstein.
Yep.
So look, shit's bad.
Yeah.
At this point.
All right.
Everything is a total mess. And there are more Epstein stories.
Sure.
And emails and things that are coming out.
Sure.
You know, there's articles about, you know, Epstein emailing with people about talking to the Russians about Trump. And,
sure.
You know, emails between Epstein and his brother about whether or not Putin has a video of Trump blowing Bubba.
Right.
Which is, he clarified later, isn't Clinton.
Okay, yeah, well, I mean, that would be an explosive video.
Yeah.
And not a little hot.
Well, I think it's the kind of thing you would deflect from with a piss tape rumor. No, yeah. I just, it's all bad.
It's all bad.
I don't know what any of this shit means.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to fully, you know, forensically get to the bottom of everything.
Right.
I think a lot of it, especially when we're recording right now, is unknowable stuff.
Yeah.
And so, like, I just think it looks bad. I think it all looks really bad.
I like this because it feels like we're an inverse of where it's been for the longest time, right? Where we really had, okay, so people were taking details and trying to find out the larger picture through details. And now I feel like we know the larger picture is we fucked up. Just mm-hmm. like pure and simple, we fucked up. We got to do something. But all these details, they're unknowable.
Mm-hmm.
They're unknowable. You'll never know. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I think that also for a long time we've been, I think a lot of people have been under the impression that Trump's support and the base that he has is unstoppable.
Yeah.
Like that there is some power to their hatred that all like comes together.
Right.
And it's not going to eat itself.
Right.
And we are now seeing like, oh, there's a point where they're going to eat themselves.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it's not all still very dangerous and,
sure.
you know, like power is going to restore to normal
right.
in a couple months
right.
or whatever. But like, he's not as invincible as he had appeared to be.
Right, right, right. Yeah. You know, for his quote, you know, he could shoot a man and people would still support him, but he couldn't kiss a man and have people still support him. So there are definite weak spots.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that he could shoot someone, but he couldn't stab someone.
Right.
Like, because the gun enthusiasts would put him over the edge
right.
for supporting him, even if he shot
even
somebody.
Even if he shot somebody.
But if he stabbed someone,
not
he wouldn't have their support.
Not enough knife people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex has a new knife he's selling, by the way.
Well, then there's more knife people than I would probably prefer.
You know, when you're talking about knife people.
Yeah.
You're dealing with a Texan, bitch.
There's an out-of-context drop.
All right. I like it.
So we start off the show, and Alex... I think, you know, he wakes up in the morning and he sees, like, aha.
His face or just the world or just
both.
What has happened to him, like his soul.
It feels bad.
Yeah.
And he sees these headlines.
Yeah.
And he's like, fucking hell, it's going to be a big show.
Oh, my gosh. I start almost every broadcast by saying all hell's breaking loose because it is. The quickening's here. But this broadcast is going to be insane. Oh, my goodness.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
I am seeking the truth, nothing more. And I 100% called what was going to happen with the Epstein stuff.
What?
It was going to be a disaster.
What?
In the last 10 months when the clear cover-up began by this administration.
It's kind of true. That's kind of true.
I understand.
He did tell Trump that he needs to just shut up.
I understand the spirit of the law.
Yeah. Yeah. He did not predict, like, where things were going and everything, but he did give better advice to Trump than whatever he got.
That's fair. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I will admit that. Anything else, though, I mean, come on.
No.
Come on, man.
But every day now is the most important thing ever. It's this show is going to be fucking insane.
Yeah, I feel like if you're InfoWars, you really can't, you know, like if you're a late night show, if you're the late night show with Jimmy Kimmel, oh, we got a great show tonight. You got a great show every night because you're a late night show. That's fine. But if you're InfoWars, you can't have an incredible broadcast, because an incredible broadcast means there's no broadcast tomorrow. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know what I mean? Like if it's that big of a deal, that's because the world is ending.
Yeah. And if you're doing a late night show, you can't have the best and funniest show every night.
Right.
But it has to be good, because it's really, it exists as PR for whoever your guests are.
Yeah, it really
does. And that doesn't exist with Alex, really.
No, not anymore. There's really no PR to be gained.
Nope. We do get Roger later, though.
Hey!
So get excited.
All right.
So Trump is really, really innocent, except the guilty stuff.
Sure.
And I knew why Trump was joining the cover-up. And it's because it's all these lawsuits and all these criminal cases, and most of it's innuendo, and it's an old case, and it implicates a bunch of high-powered people. And the CIA came to him and said, it's Mossad with us. We need to just shut this down. And Trump knew surely that 90-plus percent of the people with Epstein are high-powered Democrats. And so he kind of wink-wink made the deal. And then the Clintons and all of them turned around and have been cherry picking and selecting stuff to put out to implicate Trump.
Okay.
And it is a hoax that he's done something illegal with Epstein. There is no evidence. They would have already used it. Plus we, the witnesses, the victims, I mean, all of it. But then Trump stepped into the cover up and became guilty by association.
Yep. I mean, you don't wink, wink, go along with sex trafficking conspiracies. Like, you don't cover that stuff up on a wink.
I am confused, because his tone is saying one thing, but I'm feeling like those words are actually a closing argument.
Mm.
He's guilty. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if the best thing you can do to excuse, like, hey, Trump didn't, he's not on any of these tapes.
Right.
But he is covering it up, because wink, wink, you know,
they don't
super guilty.
Okay, we've got the murderer, and we've got the guy who covered up the murder, but because the guy who covered up the murder didn't kill the guy, he gets to go away free. That's not how that goes.
Well, I mean, they're technically different crimes, but they definitely are both crimes.
They're both crimes.
Yeah.
I get that maybe we don't punish them equally.
And generally, when you're helping cover up a murder, it's because you want the people who did the murder to not get in trouble for the murder.
Yeah, usually that's a big part of it.
You have an investment somehow emotionally or financially with the person who did the murder.
And in fact, many people say that the cover-up is worse than the crime.
Sure.
So you should have murdered that guy.
I think the Republicans said that when they were trying to impeach Clinton.
I think they did.
So Epstein, all this stuff with Trump, it's just fucking innuendo. It's just wink wink stuff, you know?
Sure.
Nine. Globalists will not destroy our republic. We will overpower them. We are with sheer truth, information, and will. Nine. All right. Here's the big news today. We're covering it all. Massive guests, so much more today. The Epstein thing has come to the peak so far, of its importance, and exactly what I knew was in there is in there.
And also
all
more.
It's already been out. It's all complete innuendo and crap. And so Trump is going after the Clintons and everybody's saying, fine, open the whole damn thing up, even though it's going to destroy the economy. And I'm not sure it is, but it's going to be really bad.
It's weird how much it feels like Alex is trying to argue against releasing the files, but doing it in this like shitty indirect way.
Yeah.
It's like he's warning about some horrible thing that's going to happen if these files are released, which is definitely not what you would expect from the champion against corruption.
Mm.
And the guy who's got all the documents and, like, you know, it's just not him.
Yeah.
It's not the guy he has pretended to be.
Here's the other problem, right? If the goal is, as he's saying, like, to keep people from focusing on this, then the way for Alex to keep people from focusing on this is to take it too seriously, right? Mm-hmm. When Alex takes it seriously, everybody laughs at him and they go, ha ha ha, you're an idiot. And so they stop paying attention to it, right?
Sure. We definitely figured out all of the ins and outs of 9/11 that he
absolutely
covered very seriously
exactly
for so long.
Totally. For him to be like, hey guys, he's just really cool, only makes it the most suspicious thing that you could ever possibly imagine.
Yeah, when Mr. Suspicious is like, hey, it'd be bad if something happened to your economy if you if you release these files. Like, no, you're the suspicious guy. You're not supposed to be doing this. That's suspicious.
You're the one doing crime. You're wearing a trench coat and a balaclava. Yeah. I don't even know how that works.
Yeah, you're shady as shit, dude.
Yeah.
So the globalists, what they're trying to do is cause a civil war within the MAGA world.
Sure.
And, man, it's working.
Okay.
It's night and day how much good we're getting done, but it's still not enough. And I've been saying this. They're going to try to crash the economy. They're going to try to get riots going because that's the Podesta plan. And they're going to bring this Epstein thing out. They're going to try to create a MAGA civil war. That created the cracks 10 months ago. Then Gaza peaking and the Israel lobby obnoxiously saying censor everybody, take everybody off the air, shut up everybody from Tucker Carlson to Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes. All of that has been done. That's caused a big rift, and it's now civil war MAGA. And you know, real pollsters that I respect who've been right 99% of the time, like Mark Mitchell, has been hitting the panic button for a few months, and now you see it everywhere, and he predicted all this, and people go, oh, he's just a panicking. No, it's good when Trump's doing wrong and stepping in it.
Wait.
To say, stop that.
So it's crazy because what Alex is saying here is exactly what I said at the time. But no shadowy globalists are trying to cause a civil war.
Mm.
The Trump fan base is an internally hostile coalition, and it's one that can't hold under pressure. Alex is correctly identifying the two biggest inflection points in the past months in the form of the bombing of Iran and the entire Epstein debacle, but his description of them and his desperation to blame someone else for them being splinter points is wrong. Trump's base is full of a ton of hyper-motivated idiots and outright bigots who don't have compatible priorities. It's not a problem when you're all just making memes and laughing about how triggered the libs are, but when you seize pretty much all the power in the country, there's nowhere left to hide. Trump's actions haven't matched what parts of his base wanted to believe about him, and it's going to lose him certain groups in a way that he probably can't win back. Legit Nazis, as well as whatever part of the right wing exists that actually just has a problem with Israel, know that he's not their guy. Anyone whose brand relies on them being against the elites and a two-tier justice system, or even just not liking child sex traffickers, now knows that Trump is not their guy. Without these two factions, Trump probably doesn't have that much gas left in the tank. He's lost the most active of the bigots and any conspiracy types who have an even tiny attention span, and that's a lot of the online influencers that the movement relies on to distract people and to spam posts of liberals crying or whatever.
Yeah.
At this point, the smart thing to do is leave Trump for dead, and it's fascinating that Alex isn't moving on. The only two explanations I can really come up for this non-motion is one, Roger has something on Alex. Or two, Alex knows that his primary brand is anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim incitement, and Trump hasn't violated that brand yet.
That's true.
Alex doesn't fundamentally hate Jewish people, and his whole thing about fighting the globalist cabal, that's been an act from the beginning. So Trump kind of hasn't shit in his mouth yet.
Right.
He's seeing him shit in everyone else's mouth.
Right, 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 right.
But he thinks he's safe.
He's funneling shit like a fucking pneumatic tube at a bank.
Yes.
But
and
he's
Alex
never
has to know
actually,
he's coming up.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's going to happen.
But he's never actually gotten hit in the face with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I don't know why Alex is doing this. I don't know what the calculation is, you know, like, but whatever it is, he's got to move on. This sucks.
I don't know. Are we okay. I understand that time is tough to process, but are we all just overreacting? Like, a year from now, can't they just say, like, none of this happened? You know, like, they're not going to be gone in a year,
mm-hmm.
right? So they just got to push through, have a bad year, and then everybody will be like, oh, we got them, didn't we? And then when they didn't, they'll be like, we got to move on to
No, because there. Within the next year, there's going to be midterm elections. And, like...
Sure. I mean, you're overthrowing the government, you know? Like, I get it.
Look, I'm not talking about, like, the power of electoralism.
Sure.
I'm talking about... every one of these campaigns being a possibility to, like, publicly attack someone as you supported the guy who's covering up Epstein.
Fair.
Or you work for Israel or whatever. There's a lot of ugliness that gets into the, like, public conversation.
Sure.
So I don't think you can hide.
Isn't that the thing is, like, do we even have to hide? Do we just need to endure? You know, like, if I'm Trump and all these guys, am I just going like, hey, just fucking endure it, and they'll lose focus.
I think there's too much on them to endure.
All right.
I think everybody should try their best to endure. Like, you know, just, you know, everyone at home.
Just endure. Well,
keep your chin up.
We're going to endure.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't think politically, like, that's a viable strategy for Trump himself.
All right.
Maybe for J.D. Vance or something.
Sure.
Like, I think he could do a...
keep your head down, let all the shit land on his face, and then wear an umbrella.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
I think
he could
do a brand refresh in some way. But
all right.
Yeah, I think for Trump, you gotta just leave him.
I mean, God damn it, we've said it before.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks my heart.
You know when, like, on The Challenge, they've had, like, team finals that they've run?
Yeah.
And somebody just can't make it? You gotta leave him behind.
Yeah.
But then you get DQ'd.
Can't do it.
Anyway, Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
You remember her?
I do remember her. Is she alive?
She is, and she is quite, she's branded differently now. She's a bit more hardcore right.
She went more Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she would pull back and go, like, lifestyle advisor. But no, she's gone full MTG.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fun.
Yeah, so a number of years back, she came to Austin and interviewed Alex.
Yes.
Which ended up being part of the reason that they were able to get the Sandy Hook lawsuits going.
It really was.
And I think he's always insinuated a bunch of stuff about her.
Sure.
About how she wanted to fuck.
Well.
And so he talks about that a little bit here.
Megyn Kelly and others have said it's clear they're trying to hype things up to get Tucker killed. Now they're attacking her. We'll get to all that. And look, Megyn Kelly is an opportunist. She's a lawyer. Very smart woman. She's basically on our side now. And if we ever start losing, she'll jump back to the other side. It's what she does. But she's emblematic of the fact. I mean, Andrew Cuomo tries to sound like us, Fredo. They all do because...
Tucker does.
We're the winners. We're winning worldwide. But good. Come on over, Megyn. Come over fully. She says nice things about me now. Good. I'm not going to turn my back on you. Certainly not going to have dessert with you. I'm coming to town. I'm going to eat with you and have dessert. Oh, I was just like, come on,
that means
lady.
Penis.
Literally sound like a sex operative on the phone. I said, I don't usually record people. I went and found another company phone. I said, let me call you right back. And I'm just like, bloop, bad. But right. I mean, what people will do for their $50 million a year salaries or whatever it was.
They'll fuck me.
NBC host, total devil, now that she's selling to the general public, and it's pretty accurate, good information. But that's what it is to win.
That is
when people that were previously mercenaries join us, it's a sign of our victory. Don't be mad at her. Just don't turn your back on her. So, you're a little too skinny for me, honey.
Wild. Wild existence. So,
getting serious, I apologize. I was trying to say nice things, and I was just mean. It's what I do. I'm real. I just can't help it.
It's too real. That's so real.
Is that what he was being?
Yeah.
That fictional story
about... He likes a thick lady.
About a woman who has a $50 million contract, but the inability to negotiate beyond, you gotta fuck Alex sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that'll happen.
And, I mean, go back to that interview. That is Alex at his thick-neckest of his life. But, like, I think there's something really... I think I've probably had exchanges with people in my life where... there, like, they've said, hey, let's get dessert.
Yeah.
And I really don't think they're trying to fuck me.
No.
I think Alex is the kind of person who would read that into every single exchange he has.
Yeah, I can't imagine, like, that seems like a very TV and movie kind of innuendo. I don't think anybody's ever been like, hey, do you want dessert in real life?
Mm-hmm.
They're more likely to be like, can we have sex now? Mm-hmm. For God's sakes. You're taking too long.
Yeah. I don't think that she was trying to honeypot him.
Yeah, I would strongly suggest she was not.
It's funny, though. It's funny.
I mean, whew.
So it's interesting the way that Alex deals with the idea of an opportunist agreeing with him, because it's a classic glass half full, glass half empty kind of situation. You could say that your side are the winners, so the fact that an opportunist would be agreeing with you means that they're trying to be on the right side. But at the same time, you could say that Megyn Kelly never believed the shit she was saying in the past. She was just an opportunist taking a paycheck to say what her boss wanted her to. So why is there any reason to think that's not what she's doing now?
Right.
You're just the side that has some billionaire establishment shit
right.
behind it.
Right. Yeah. No.
Congrats.
It's like it's the problem with the double agent. Right. I can't trust you. I know you're working for me right now, but you could not be working for me. I don't know. You got to go. You got to be done.
Anything over single agent is as believable.
Yeah.
Triple agents as believable as
exactly.
double.
Exactly. Yeah. There's simply no more ability to trust you. So the smarter move is to just not be around you.
Yeah. A double agent, in theory, is the same as a quadruple agent.
Right. Exactly. We can do fractions all night.
Yeah. So Roger's going to be popping in.
Sure.
Give us a little Epstein info bit later.
I like it.
Spoiler alert, just to not get your hopes up.
Everybody was great. And yep. Everybody did everything legally and lawfully.
Trump
is
so
and is actually
good.
Super really
He's
nice
so
to people.
Cool.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But Roger Stone's on later. He's one of the sources. And he said I could talk about this a few months ago, but reluctantly. And I'll press him on it today, but he told me when Trump was president-elect, he said, you're not going to get the Epstein stuff. It's CIA Mossad. You know that because it's going to be covered up. Plus, they've cherry-picked and they've had
we're the good guys.
A bunch of recycled crap. And I talked to FBI sources. They said, yeah, that's what it is. And so Trump heard that. He was like, okay, yeah, no, we're done. There's none of the real meat and potatoes in there. But we know the people. We know who the women say. And it ain't Donald Trump. It's 95% Democrats.
So this is such a huge difference from the character Alex has always portrayed, where he's so invested in the hard evidence and the documents. Now he's staking a position where he's trying to preemptively discredit whatever information may come out in the Epstein case and encourage the audience to just trust the conclusions you've already come to. It really feels like a person who knows that there's really bad stuff waiting to come to light, and that makes sense. There's no chance that Alex trusts Roger Stone behind the scenes. Roger is an angry piece of shit who doesn't suffer fools and has worked with dictators doing, like, image control over the course of his career.
You would have to be so stupid to believe Roger Stone.
Yeah.
To take him at face value, I would believe is your fault.
You would have to be in a coma to be around him for 10 years and not realize how dangerous and dishonest he is.
Yeah.
If Roger's telling you, trust me, Trump is cool on the Epstein stuff, you have to know something's up.
Yeah, that's... Oh, so he's committed a war crime is what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He and Epstein were building a nuke.
Yeah, absolutely.
What?
There's whatever it is, it's worse than I could imagine because I'm not a billionaire and they have so much money they can imagine worse crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roger's gonna, like, behind the scenes, like, Epstein is Trump. They're the same person.
I mean, why not?
Yeah. It's a Kaiser Soze thing.
Right, like, and also, again... If you've actually been pardoned by a guy, that's basically a brand on the top of your forehead saying T. Like, he's pro-Trump for the goodest length of time there is till the end of days.
Well, it's interesting because I think you got to judge it based on the next couple months after you get the pardon.
Okay.
Because someone could lay low and just be like, whew, I got out of that one. I'm going to retire from public life.
Smart. That would be the smart move.
Yeah. But if you are Roger and you continue to do Roger things and like...
Eventually you're going to bite the hand.
Yeah. And you're a Trump surrogate and all this stuff. Yeah. You can never trust him again.
Right.
He's a Trump guy for
Absolutely.
The rest of his life. He was going to die in jail.
Exactly. Yeah. I will do whatever he tells me to because that trumps your claim for like truth or honest. No, I'm alive, not in jail. I did Trump again. God damn it.
Back to Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
He has a life debt.
He has a life debt.
Yeah.
This and hissing.
Yeah. So, look, Alex is mad.
Uh-huh.
He's really mad that Trump just didn't shut up. Just don't say anything. Fuck.
Now Trump's calling for all of it and wants the DOJ to go after him. The problem is they won't because they're part of the same system. But he should have done this in the last 6, 7, 8 months because it was the right thing to do and your constituents would love you and back you. Instead, you did the political thing, the Machiavelli thing, and now you're getting the repercussions of it.
Mm. Repercussions.
I mean, if you were going to cover it up, like I said at the time, and some people interpreted this and said, look, he's telling him how to cover up. No, I said he should have done it. But I war game stuff. I said, if you're going to cover it up, because I know you're not involved, shut up! Shut up!
Passionate.
We've all been there, man.
Oh, my constituents. If you want to look at Epstein, you're an idiot Democrat, Mark, and you've been conned by them, and you're not MAGA. Just like Mark Levin and all of them. If you don't want to have nuclear war, or you don't want to have us tell you what to do, you're anti-Semitic and you're not MAGA. None of you guys were for Trump. I was one of the first people to endorse him. I don't need to hear that from you. Pro-shot, pro-open border, pro-world government, pro-censorship. You're not Americans. You're absolute 100% high-level Mossad operatives. My God.
All of them?
I bet Levin's a colonel in the Israeli military. I just cannot take it anymore. And I don't hate you because you're Jewish. I don't hate you because you're Mossad. I hate you because you're trying to bully us and get in our face and acting like a bunch of assholes and then energizing the Nazis. See, because I'm actually thinking multi-level, dumbass.
Damn. So to be very direct, what's going on here is that Alex is super mad about the position that supporting Trump has gotten him into, and he's trying to redirect that anger at Mark Levin. No one forced Alex to defend Trump how he has or hire Roger Stone and accept every bullshit thing he says as true. Alex is in the situation he's in because of his choices, and that's really bad right now because they're choices that are incompatible with the character that he's pretended to be for decades. You can't be the Bohemian Grove guy and then also say that if the president wants to cover up a child sex trafficking ring, he should just shut up. If you ever were the guy you pretended to be, you can't rationalize even a passive cover-up of something like this, let alone the very active decision Alex has said Trump made. Alex's brand is essentially shot, and Trump did it to him, and he has no way to fight back. That's why Alex is so angry, because he's essentially getting rat-fucked, and he still has to have Roger on the show later to spin. He's having the guy who rat-fucked him as his honored guest.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, he can't meaningfully lash out at Trump, so everything has to be put through proxies. He's mad at Kash Patel. He's mad at Todd Blanche. These are all just punching bags that he's taking his impotent rage about Trump out on. Like, he can't... Yeah. He's like a guy who's in a dream and he can't throw a punch.
I mean, it's like a literal manifestation of what happens when you tie too much of your own ego up in somebody else's success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because this would be tantamount to looking at himself and saying, you have failed. He cannot do it.
Yep. Yep. Well, I think that's the simplest explanation that doesn't require some other outside influence.
Right, 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 right.
It does match with his psychology.
I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of outside influences, not least of which being a shit ton of money.
Yeah, there's a constellation of things going on.
Yeah.
But naturally, like, his anger gets redirected towards anti-Semitic tropes, because that's what his world and information ecosystem has always been built on. It's fundamentally all just kind of, like, Alex being a baby with a wet diaper, like he's just lashing out, except that Alex is the baby and Trump pissed in his diaper.
Mm.
He didn't even like wet himself.
And Trump is also a baby.
Yeah. But a rich baby.
Yeah, a really rich baby that's allowed to pee on yourself.
And doesn't want to hang out with you.
Nope.
Because you smell like piss.
And you won't stop talking about Bubba.
Yeah. Whew. So Alex, you know, I think he believes that all right-wing people who support Israel and are Jewish work for Israel.
Right.
And are, you know, he has that dual loyalty trope
sure.
kind of thing going pretty hard. And so he's like, Netanyahu, I got to give you a warning. And he does.
Yeah, warn Netanyahu.
Yeah.
Now, this has gotten so out of hand, and people have turned on Israel so much, I'm going to warn Netanyahu, and I'm going to warn these Mossad agents right now.
Warn him.
You know, I'm giving you my real advice, and I'm known at the FBI, the CIA, everywhere, have tried to hire me for my ability to understand this stuff as a top analyst. I mean, seriously.
And God powers.
But you don't have to be that smart to know this. You're not, if you actually trigger this, you're not going to get out of it. You think because you got nuclear weapons, this is going to end up okay? You're going to get Israel destroyed and probably the rest of the world with us. So, with us, with humanity. So,
it's funny because that slip that Alex made there where he used the word us to refer to Israel, it doesn't really mean anything. But the fact that Alex knew he needed to correct himself does tell you something. He knows that this is exactly the kind of clip that the avant-garde Nazi types he's been buddying up with would use against him to bolster their claims that he works for the Jews. And that's why he has to be like, us, I mean humanity. Yeah.
I mean, listen, just to... The body of the paragraph there, man. If anybody can get out of it, Netanyahu, he's still in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what he's been through for the past like 5 years to stay in charge?
It's been some bad press.
Like, oh my God, he's committed crimes and been guilty of them, and he's still in charge. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
How has he pulled all of this off? He's also committed war crimes while he's not even supposed to be in charge of things.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
he's still in charge.
Yeah, and I think that Alex warning, you know, hey, don't set off any nukes, it's evergreen advice
that
to
is,
all world leaders. Don't do that.
I would recommend it.
But I think that he has a fundamental inability to differentiate between the state of Israel, support for Israel, someone who's Jewish, and he's... I think he just thinks that, like, Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, all these people are Mossad agents and might as well be in the government.
Yeah.
Let me
ask you a
country.
Question. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. All right. Nukes, very bad. Right.
Sure.
What if we filled one with confetti?
Maybe fun. I think it would still be really destructive, though, right?
The confetti?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, I mean,
probably.
Just the bomb dropping.
Yeah, that probably. But from a distance... up in the air, it would look like the best party.
Well, I think, you know, if you had no concept of an explosion,
right.
A mushroom cloud might look pretty cool from a distance.
I mean, it looks very cool from a distance,
it's
I think.
Interesting shape.
Yeah. Well, imagine that shape, but with confetti. I don't see a downside to this idea.
Okay.
All right.
Work on it.
I
look forward to making the next Oppenheimer about
I
you.
I suppose.
So, look. Trump's covering up Epstein stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been tough on Alex about how he's accepted this.
Sure.
But in this next clip, Alex gives a pretty good reason for why he's okay with it.
Okay.
And I do have to change my tune.
Uh-oh.
Johnson's like, no, go ahead, vote, release it all. Now the Democrats were like, yeah, don't release it all. Just cherry pick. Get it out ahead. Oh, Trump. Kicking him out of Mar-a-Lago. Oh, Bannon coming and meeting with him once for a TV interview that we've seen clips of.
Hmm?
See, now you get what they're doing. And I knew this beforehand. So why did Trump say kill the investigations? Because all the billionaires came to him and the rich Democrats and the heads of universities and hedge funds and said, listen, this is old, and a lot of it's just innuendo, and we want to work with you. Can we just... And then do you think that the Democrat Party would ever abide by a deal they made with you? I mean, you always tell the snake story of the frozen snake, and the lady picks up and warms it up and bites her, and she says, why'd you do that? Well, I'm a snake.
I'm a snake. Can Alex even hear himself? He's supposed to be the first guy who ever covered the Epstein story, and the dude was running a pedophilia and blackmail ring that controlled pretty much every world leader, elected or otherwise.
Yeah.
It's the key to unraveling the control network that explains every conspiracy he pushes, so anyone that could possibly be a good leader would have to dismantle that.
Mm-hmm.
But now Trump's covering up for the Epstein shit because billionaires asked him nicely. Alex doesn't realize that if it's possible for Trump to agree to do that because billionaires asked him, then Trump is a monster.
Yeah.
What's happening here is that it's become essentially undeniable that Trump is covering up the Epstein shit. And as much as Alex's political world is based in rejecting a universal reality, this one's not possible. Trump's actions are so overt and otherwise inexplicable that even the most loyal Trump subject can't pretend that he's being honest about this. Like, Trump's not being cool about this.
No, we are literally at the Borgia's territory of Popeness. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys are going to, honestly, if you keep doing it this poorly, you'll have a reformation. Mm-hmm. That's how shitty you are. You're talking about Borgia shittiness.
Yeah, and like, it's just like a unspinnable, like that box.
Yeah.
It's, you can't, everyone can see it.
Yep.
You can see that you're in it. You know, there's no denying it. It's not a mime's construction.
We are past you sitting on the thing and people throwing balls to make you fall into the water. You have fallen into the water.
Yeah, and you can't yell fake news. Nope. No one gives a shit.
You're wet.
So Alex is trying to come up with ways to excuse this undeniable reality, but it just doesn't work. There's no acceptable reason why someone who's the leader that Alex has made Trump out to be would ever agree to cover up a child trafficking ring on behalf of the billionaires who were involved in it. By conceding the point that Trump is covering this up, Alex has indicted him of an inexcusable crime, and yet Alex is trying to make excuses for him.
Well, when you put it like that, it does sound inexcusable. But if you think of it this way, actually, he's very smart. See? See, actually, he's very smart.
Ooh, I didn't.
So now you can't.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, you can't be mad at him because actually he's very smart.
Get me Roger Stone.
Exactly.
I need him to reassure me. So, Alex, you know, he's really, really mad that Trump is covering this up and that he can't deny that. Because the fact that he can't deny it means that he has to play the game that he's playing.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like you're trapped somewhere and you have to cut off your own arm to escape, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it should be, but it really is just a breach of contract, right? You know, like, there's an unspoken contract between all of us propagandists and Trump. Trump gets to do whatever the fuck he wants. We lie about it as long as, you know, the rules of the contract are held. You're in breach of contract. Go fuck yourself, you know?
Yeah, it's
like, that's what it has to be.
It's upholding kayfabe.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's what Alex talked about on another episode a little bit ago, where he's like, we're your media surrogates. Leave this to us. Shut up.
Yeah.
You know, like, Trump didn't abide by, whatever that unspoken contract is.
When you step on a bear trap, the bear trap isn't like, are you sure you want me to bite your leg? Like, I don't, because, like, what if you're a nice guy, but on the inside?
Mm-hmm.
No, it just fucking snaps.
Yeah. So Alex kind of snaps a little bit, too. And there's just, like, a lot of angry yelling for a bit.
You got the tiger by the tail. You've got the problem. I am the detonator of the revolution you see around you, and you know it. And my work has just begun. So feel your hand. You want a war? You got a war.
Fucked up his catchphrase.
Me and been enjoying yourself in your arrogant perch that you're part of the power structure at Invincible. You are scum. You are losers. You are retarded gremlins that fed on this country when she was asleep. Well, she ain't asleep now, bitch.
Sure.
So let me tell you about the real mafia of populism. Tell you about real power that comes from real people with real guts and real bones and real morals. If you think hurting and attacking people like me and the American people that are now awake will make us go away, please continue, and you will continue to find out.
Okay. Sounds very heavenly.
We have only begun to fight.
I'm convinced.
Oof.
Yeah, this is inspiring.
Yeah. I don't remember too many like, okay, so if you think about the St. Crispin's Day speech, mm-hmm. you know, very famous speech, general thrust being like, hey, people who don't die here are going to be like, oh, I wish I had died there. Very inspiring, written by Shakespeare. At no point in time do you hear him go, ah!
Long pause. Yeah, great orators of the past did not growl as much as Alex does. It's a stylistic thing, I think.
It is a little bit, whether 'tis nobler.
Nope. I think that it's also too obvious that this is anger that he feels towards Trump.
Sure.
And it's just being yelled about other people.
Transference is very, yeah.
I think it's a way too obvious.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for him.
Yeah, the thing about...
He should just lash out at Trump.
The thing about Mad Libs is that there's a bunch of different things that you can put in there. It's not just all, I'm very mad at Trump, but I can't say it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Alex has got... You heard a little laugh there at the end.
I did.
He has a mirthful thought. And that is, holy shit, the future exists.
And like a boa constrictor, we're wrapped around them, and they think they got us, we got them. And we're just squeezing.
Sure.
And squeezing.
All right.
And we get stronger, and you get weaker.
Okay.
So you just believe your little MSNBC bubble. You just stay in your little bubble. You just wear your little virtual reality goggles and just live in your little fantasy land all you want. But while you're doing that,
I'm gonna fuck your wife.
We're moving. And we've just begun to move. And if you think you're in trouble now, you haven't even begun to run in to the next wave that gets here in about a year. You think you can discredit, remove Trump, and stop us? That's hilarious. You think you can take our purity and get us to attack Trump and get him out of the way for you? That's a symbol of how good we are and how strong we are, how we're not going away. You see our purity as weakness. No, it's our strength.
I think Alex is talking about the midterm elections, which actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
He says, like, in a year,
in a
what's
year,
coming.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of what I was assuming.
That's the next time the Republicans can lose some power to be able to credibly rile up the base by acting like victims. Alex is probably thinking that the Democrats will take back the House and impeach Trump over the many crimes that
all
he's
the crimes that he's committing.
And then all the Trump surrogates and the media like Alex can pretend it's all political persecution, so everyone needs to shut up about how Trump is covering up the Epstein stuff.
Sure.
Alex is dreaming of a future that mirrors like 2018 because that was a great time for him as a media surrogate.
Yeah.
The storylines were simple back then, like the kind of stuff you'd read in a children's sci-fi novel. Very obvious heroes and villains. And that's the territory that Alex's skill set fits into. The storylines he's got going on now are way too complicated, and it's forcing him to justify why his God-anointed ruler is covering up child trafficking and blackmail rings. So it makes sense that he's fantasizing about this simpler time that's to come when they won't control every part of the government.
Yeah, I mean, there's gotta be, I don't know what it says about humanity as a whole, but there needs to be a like separate competence pool, right? So all of these people love yelling about stuff and they love being like, ah, the government's evil. And if I was in government, here's what I would do. But they don't actually want to do the administration, the like doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like the actual doing of it. They want people to go like, they want to say like, oh, I want peace in the Middle East. Make it happen,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, like at best, like be middle management at a think tank.
Right.
You're not
right.
writing up these position and papers and the white papers and stuff, but you're like, telling what the intern needs to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't need you.
You're an idea. You're all idea people.
That's
for
great.
What's wrong with
absolutely.
All this shit.
Absolutely. There yeah. should be a whole separate thing where those guys get to have their fun, and then they can have like a wing of the government, and it's the wing of like, ah, we're acting crazy. But then there's just basic level competence over here. Not a problem.
Well, I think, you know, in the think tank structure of how a lot of, you know, the government works.
Sure.
That is kind of the way things are.
Sure.
Except the thing shits out of balance now right. where the competence isn't, there's no place for
right.
it. The shit talkers and.
Well, that's the thing is like it needs to be an equal like there is another check and balance, and that's just people with competence. Like if mm-hmm. if the air traffic controllers are just like, no, that counts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the air traffic controllers get an equal part of the government where they get to be like, hey, you guys are fucking up, so we're just not going to work today. And then we have to deal with that.
Well,
like it's competence based.
Sure. Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. It needs to be in balance.
It needs to be in balance.
Yeah. So Alex is a guy.
Yeah.
And he's not like the bad guys.
No.
Because the bad guys are okay with cover-ups. And he is not okay with cover-ups.
I feel like he is.
Except he's actively excusing Trump doing a cover.
Sure.
It's a mess.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. I called it. It wasn't hard to call it. And I was the bad guy in MAGA. I was undermining Trump. Oh, I was. Oh, no. We need to shut up about Epstein. Well, the majority of MAGA has morals, unlike some of you that. I notice people that always say don't criticize Trump. Had just jumped on the bandwagon. You're political babies. You don't know what you're talking about. And obviously, this is a hot button issue. I've been exposing it since day one of the first. It can bring down the whole globalist system, and it's got to be done. And so we're not like you. We're not like Democrats that'll just cover up evil because it's, quote, our party. I'm not a Republican. I'm a populist Christian patriot, and I wanted to reform the Republican parties of the Tea Party and Ron Paul, and we built that beachhead, and we've done it to a great extent. It's way better than Democrats, okay?
So lesser of two evils thing.
Mm.
So in that clip, Alex says that he's not like the Democrats who will cover up evil because that defends the party. But his entire coverage of Trump's Epstein response has been an open acknowledgement that Trump's been covering up evil because sure. that defends his party.
Right.
It's great if he wants to pretend that he's not a Republican or any of that shit, but the names are kind of meaningless at this point. The party that would have been thrilled about John McCain or Mitt Romney that we would have called the GOP, that doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Trump has turned what used to be the GOP into a cult of personality. And if Republicans want to exist in the future, they're going to need to take the party back or split away. Alex is loyal to Trump, regardless of how involved he is in covering up evil. So, in effect, he's heir to the corpse of the Republican Party,
yeah.
which he has ridden along to the destruction of.
Yeah.
If Alex wants to be convincingly populist, like he says he is, he needs to come up with a better excuse for why Trump covered up the Epstein stuff than the billionaires asked him to. It seems a little soft on the elites.
I mean, a little bit. That kind of gets rid of populist. And I would also say patriot. Can't be a patriot to international global billionaires.
It's not great Christian.
No, very not Christian.
His Christianity is weird.
His Christianity doesn't count as most religions.
Yeah, his Christianity is kind of worshiping the devil.
Right.
His populism is basically the elites.
Yep.
And his patriotism is not patriotic.
None.
Cool.
Yeah.
So this next clip is part of my, I have a fascination mm-hmm. with Alex's engagement with James Bond.
Yeah.
And so I like to poke a little bit okay. whenever he brings up something from James Bond.
All right.
I mean, I've been in these meetings when at the time Richest Guy in the World's lawyers are trying to buy me off. And they got me there under another pretense. And they're like, are you working with the GS79Q4 group? Or is it the blah, 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 blah? And the Q, and it's go Q. He said Q. They've been calling super top secret stuff Q on the OSS from before World War II. That's why they call James Bond's technician Q. Dumbos.
Dumbo.
Dumbos.
The character Q doesn't appear in any of Ian Fleming's Bond novels. Hey. Just in the movies.
Oh.
In the original books, there are some references to the Q branch, which was the place that came up with his fun gadgets.
Sure.
Fleming based that department on Charles Fraser Smith, who was an inventor during World War I. He built things that came to be called Q devices because he was enlisted on a British Q ship, which were named after the port that they originally deployed from, which was Queenstown in Ireland.
Fun.
Also, Q isn't really a person in the James Bond movies. It's like a role within MI6.
It's like a title.
Yeah. The name is Q, partially as an homage to Fraser Smith, and partially because his job is quartermaster.
Yeah.
I just don't know how much, like, Alex... I don't know how he handles being around so many stupid fucking people all the time. They can't tell the difference from reality and fiction.
I just...
These dumbos.
I just appreciate that... I have no doubt he has told other people this, and they have been like, wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
That no point in time have they been like, you are making that up whole cloth because you are so lazy. You would rather make up a story than just look up, why is it called? You could just Google, like, why is it called Q? And then he would tell you the whole fucking story.
It's like the kind of tidbit you throw out drunk at the bar.
Yeah.
And everyone just kind of goes along with it because no one wants to fight.
Yeah.
And it's what his show consists of largely.
Why not? It seems like if that's your thing, what a weird thing for you to lie about. So, yeah, we'll just go along with it. We're your friends. You wouldn't just lie about Q to your friends for no reason, right?
Right, and it doesn't matter. It's James Bond. Who gives a shit?
But Alex would absolutely lie to you for no reason.
Yeah, yep. He does on his show all the time.
All the time.
So he's also the best.
That's true.
Yeah.
At what?
Everything.
Oh, that doesn't make sense.
Other intelligence agency visits and things, too, including foreign ones I mentioned. Because they went and got the database of my family and, you know, some of the stuff they've been involved in, but they never told me anything other than the government's corrupt and evil and you can't trust them.
Sure. That seems like a lot.
So I didn't grow up around all, you know, political science books and military books and, you know, engineering and, you know, around, but I was never told any of this stuff. I was just told how the world works. So I was in the right soil with the right mind and the right background to be a futurist analyst, expert of experts, the best. And I don't say that as a power trip. The enemy already knows I'm the best. Steve Bannon says I'm the best, and I don't know, he's super smart, but there's a few of us, okay? But I am the best. I'm as good as it gets, boys and girls.
Oof. Sure would be a shame if that guy who validates Alex's ego so well just happened to be friends with Jeffrey Epstein.
It would be, yeah.
He'd hate to let something like that get in the way of being able to feel like the best in the world.
It'd be a real problem.
It's fun to think back on how much Alex used to hate Steve Bannon back when Roger was feuding with him.
Mm.
Maybe part of Roger's pardon agreement was that he and Bannon had to make nice. Like, it would explain the change in overall tone.
Well, you know, it did happen around there.
I think it. I think the timeline might not match up totally.
Well, he was in prison for a little while, so.
Yeah. I don't know if the pardon timeline works out, but whatever Roger thinks of Steve Bannon is what Alex thinks of him.
It does feel that way. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't believe that you know, okay. Here's what's like underlying things. With this whole idea of if Trump does this, it'll take down the government or like too many people or yada, yada, yada. Like at the end of the day, if you truly believe that our government, which has a total of what, 565 people in Congress or 465, whatever it is, and then you've got the executive branch and then you've got the judicial branch. So there's like fucking 500 people. If you think that more than 251 of those people are actively involved with Jeffrey Epstein, then the whole government needs to go.
Sure. Right?
Like, if more than half,
mm-hmm.
then it's too many, period.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's just not possible.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And there is no real functional way to do that without, like, let's start over.
Absolutely.
And look, I mean, the government... Like, let's make a new government or whatever.
Sure.
That, obviously, I think realistically, is not something that would go well.
The idea of it.
But at the same time, where did our government come from?
That's the problem.
People created it. It's not like we can't hit a hard reset or something.
Here's what's crazy. We all learn about it and we all read about it, but they banged out the whole government in less than a year. That's not okay.
People are able to collaborate, coordinate, negotiate. Like, there are...
Yeah.
There is a capability for that.
Yeah.
And, like, the idea of, like, I don't think it's going to happen.
Sure.
I think it would be a mess.
Yeah.
But the idea that, like, a new constitution could be written isn't impossible.
Absolutely. We banned drinking in the whole country 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Drinking!
Yeah.
That's what we love to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can get a new country. Yeah. It feels easier than banning drinking now.
Sure. Sure. And I will say that this does feel a lot different than the position I would have had like 5 years ago.
Sure. Sure.
I think my horizons have been widened.
That'll happen.
So Trump, his base is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the Democrats. They mm-hmm. suck. They're all dumb.
And so we need Trump to succeed. But that said, Trump's base is not like, on average, the servile Democrats. They're more sophisticated. And they're based on moral guidestones that they expect. So Trump went down like 6-7 points. We had the pollsters on there, very accurate, like Mark Mitchell, when he said, if you want Epstein out, you believe that, you know, you're not MAGA, you're not in our movement. Well, that's like 95% of your base. I mean, that's like you've been happily married 10 years and one day you just come home and beat the shit out of your wife and you wonder why she's leaving you. I mean, that was, yeah, I mean, this is like, I mean, maybe you can knock her upside the head a few times. She forgives you the first time you go to counseling, but I'm like, don't beat us up anymore.
Don't tell that story.
Get in the station wagon with the kids and leave. I mean, that's my analogy.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's gross to hear from someone who, you know, has been accused of domestic violence.
The exact things, yeah.
So I think it's a pretty good analogy, though, for the way Trump treats his followers. Like, even Alex can't find a good way to articulate it without describing domestic violence.
Yeah.
Alex thinks that he's making the point that Trump's base is more sophisticated than Democrats and that they have moral principles. But really what he's saying is that the elements that make up Trump's base actually hate each other. But they had a flimsy truce that's now broken. The Nazi wing hates the right-wing Israel supporters. The white nationalists hate the pro-immigration big business interests on the right. The conspiracy folks hate everyone who thinks running a government isn't as easy as posting on a message board. They all hate each other.
Yep.
Most of them put aside these really obvious feuds that they have with each other in the name of gaining power and fighting the imaginary enemy of woke Antifa leftists. But now that they've taken all of the power, each of these factions wants it for themselves. They want to be the next wave of what the Trump movement becomes. And I'll just spoil what's next for them. It's whatever the billionaires want.
Yeah.
Maybe J.D. Vance, but basically someone like that who's backed by folks like Peter Thiel and mm-hmm. Elon Musk. Trump can't legally run again, and if each of these factions insists on some ideologically pure candidate that serves their niche hate, then a Democrat's going to win in 2028 if there's an election.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the race against time, right? Like, mm-hmm. If I'm one of them trying to play the game that I feel like is laid out in front of me, right? So imagine I'm the player.
Is this a Game of Thrones?
It is a little bit like a Game of Thrones.
Chaos is a ladder.
Right. If I'm the player mm-hmm. and I'm looking at what they're doing, then it is all a race against time to get rid of the electoral democracy, mm-hmm. essentially, and replace it with something like Russia's, you know, very controlled, totally democracy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea. And if you can't do that in 3 years, you're fucked, right? So it feels like that is what they should be focusing on at all times. So I mean, that's kind of why I don't even understand why they're bothering with the Epstein stuff. If it's me, I'm just going like, we need to erode everything.
Well, because I think that the mainstream of the GOP is already doing that.
Yeah.
And so you don't need to advocate for that because mm-hmm. people like Mike Johnson and Trump and all of his cabinet are doing that already.
They are.
They mm-hmm. did Doge, for fuck's sake.
They gave it a shot.
Yeah, so they're already doing everything that you need to do on that institutional front.
Sure.
And so what you want to do is you want to stake out your position of why you are the pure new Tea Party
sure.
or whatever that will be able to wield this power in the future. You want to, I mean, I hate to do more Game of Thrones shit, but you want to stake your claim as the rightful heir.
Right, naturally. You know? Of course. No. But, I mean, that's kind of where we're at, is they've taken a government that we all kind of processed and understood as being a nuanced series of complex systems all interweaved to try and just make our days happen, and turned it into like, okay, this person is angering me, so I take their fiefdom away for the day. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's where we're at.
Yeah, and I think they fail or whatever, you know, Alex's, you know, milieu of folks fails to recognize is like, all you really want is an asshole.
Yep.
Like, if they just replace Trump with another fucking asshole that you could project your like weird beliefs onto, you'd be perfectly happy.
Yep.
And
they don't need to do government. Mm-mm. Like, you're not paying attention to the government they are doing. Mm-hmm. So just let somebody be an asshole and somebody else do the government.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that they should, if the folks on the right were wise, I think what they would do is start trying to cultivate a really fun asshole.
Yeah.
Like, Nick Fuentes is leading some sort of a faction.
Yep.
But he's never going to win over certain parts of the right wing.
Nope.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is leading some kind of faction.
Yep.
But she's never going to get some parts of... They're never going to be able to create that coalition that Trump has. And they need an asshole.
And Rogan doesn't have the interest.
No.
He's too fucking rich and lazy.
Yeah, and I think...
Why would you?
I think he understands that he, like, might get killed.
Yeah. Too.
Like, I think he understands the added risks of entering that arena.
I mean, it's just basic, you know, like, there's no situation where Rogan has anything better than what he has right now unless he has a megalomaniacal need for power.
Yeah. Ironically, if he becomes president, he becomes less useful to the people who facilitate him.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's interesting how stark it is of, like, that Joe Rogan is not pursuing power should tell you all you need to know about people in Joe Rogan's position who do pursue power.
Mm-hmm.
They're psychopaths.
Yeah. They should just start a dumb comedy club.
Absolutely.
It's not woke.
You're not going to bother anybody. You're going to have fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
So someone who's been bothering people is that Elijah Schaefer.
Sure.
We talked about it on the last episode.
We did.
Hates Indian Americans.
What a wild... Yeah, go for it, man.
So
I guess.
He mentioned in his discussion of his lawsuit, Kash Patel's girlfriend is suing him.
Yeah.
He mentioned that he brought Max Blumenthal from the Gray Zone into... he's like, hey, man, look, I got sued. But
yeah.
So Max has been covering...
This. Right, great.
And I think because of that, Max Blumenthal ends up on InfoWars.
Oh, my God.
So Alex is going to interview him, and I think it's mostly predicated on the Elijah
Circle
Schaefer.
Jerking?
Yeah.
So I'm going to shut up now. We only have like 35 minutes. Max Blumenthal, great journalist, really smart guy, thegrayzone.com. He broke the Elijah Schaefer stuff. And he's, again, joins us right now. Really appreciate him coming on with us.
It's an interesting guest because I don't think Alex knows anything about him. Or at least fundamentally doesn't understand how different their positions are.
Yeah, I don't think I know anything about him.
I am not an expert.
Okay.
But I think that he is definitely more of a guy who has strong criticisms of, like, CIA shit.
Sure. Does he fancy himself like a real journalist too?
Yeah, Intercept-y.
Okay.
He's
okay.
Greenwaldian.
Oh, he's that kind of asshole.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
But like I said, I don't know enough about him to speak, like, authoritatively on what his positions are.
Gotcha.
But generally, he's that kind of guy who's like, yeah, everyone's attacking Maduro, but that's because the CIA is trying to destabilize his government,
sure,
and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So they have, like, a massive departure in terms of a lot of their international understanding.
Right.
But also he is clearly a shithead and likes a bad political set domestically.
Yeah, we've got two not necessarily compatible fictional worlds, but not necessarily in active conflict fictional worlds.
No, and certainly ones that have had reason to overlap a lot more.
Yeah.
Before this bombing of Iran and the Epstein stuff
has
completely blown up Trump's fragile hold on all these different groups.
As Alex put it, if Trump had just shut up.
You just shut up?
Yep.
So I think that it becomes pretty clear quickly that Alex does not really understand the difference of opinion that he and his guest have.
Okay.
Where do you want to start? Do you agree we're going into MAGA Civil War? You want to start with the Elijah Schaefer suit? You want to start with the Epstein stuff? Because it's all interconnected. Where do you want to go?
I don't even know if we can call this a civil war. It's like the base against the donor class and all the phonies that the donor class has just put out there. It's the 99%. of MAGA against the 1%. That's
exactly
the way I
it's
see
a literal
it.
Class war. The real populist movement that took over part of the Republican Party is now at war with the Republican establishment that's uniparty holding on by its fingernails.
And something I do want to talk about at some point, but I think we should, you know, cover everything.
No, you got the floor. I'm going to shut up right now.
You were saying, but Donald Trump is being pushed by Marco Rubio, one of the co-authors of TPS, to attack Venezuela. He's about to destabilize South America and cause another massive migration wave and a civil war in South America. They're lying about Venezuela being a narco cartel government. The cocaine and fentanyl is not coming from there. It's coming from the West Coast, from countries that are allied with the U.S.
So Alex got really excited about that MAGA people versus MAGA donor class line that Max dropped. But I don't think that Alex did any homework on his guest, because Max is saying that Trump is part of that donor class. He also completely disagrees with Alex about fundamental matters of reality, like the stuff about Venezuela. So Alex whiffed on this booking. I don't care for Max Blumenthal, but he has a brand to maintain. So when Alex gets into a conversation with him, he's not just going to yes and everything that Alex says, like one of his normal dipshit guests who's just like happy to be there.
I mean,
Viva Fry will say whatever the fuck Alex wants.
Yeah.
Max, not so much.
Considering the way we view airtime and advertising at this point, Alex's show is a donor show. Mm-hmm. Like, it is him donating money and time to Trump, so he is also in that donor class.
Alex has said he is a media surrogate,
absolutely, and Trump. He's really rich.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I mean, it's a telethon ongoing.
Yep.
For the advancement of Trump.
That's how it's gonna go.
Yeah. So their interview is not it's not groundbreaking.
Yeah.
And I think that Alex really does not fully grasp what Max is going with.
Right.
A lot of it is anti-Israel stuff, and it feels a bit like some of that shit drifts into some pretty anti-Semitic territory.
Sure.
But I don't know enough about Max to say, like, what his foundation is. And he's also a Jewish American, and I don't know what his perspective is.
Yeah.
So I don't want to speak on that. But it does, like, there's something very notable about him and Alex.
Yeah.
And that is that you heard even in that last clip, he's complaining about Marco Rubio.
Right.
And when Max has criticisms of Israel, a lot of the time that does include Christian Zionist right-wing figures,
sure,
on the right, like Rubio or like RFK Jr.
Right. Everybody who's like holying the land and hating the people.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas with Alex, it's always Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, Josh Hammer. It's all Jewish Americans.
Yes.
And that, like, I'm not saying that Max's critiques are less coming from a place of like, this sucks.
Sure, 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 sure.
But it makes it glaring how much Alex is off.
Right.
So Alex is he's not grasping that Max's position is mostly anti-Trump.
Yeah.
And like, Trump sucks. This guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He's going to go bomb Venezuela.
Yeah.
The fuck are we doing? He's allowing the CIA to cover up the Mossad shit.
Very smart.
With the Epstein stuff. And so Alex has like a final question for him that just does not grasp the negativity.
In closing, looking at the cover up of Epstein, now you've got the FBI covering up crooks and people helping him. You've got this rapid response team, and it's all unraveling. Turns out they did have all this internet data and metadata on crooks, said they didn't. That's all coming out from our own reporter. And she's coming on later. I mean, this is disintegrating very, very quickly. How do you expect the Democrats to play this? I mean, what are the different possible outcomes of this? Let me ask this. I should have said this. How does Trump extricate himself from this?
So Max, his point is, generally speaking, like, Trump is bad. This
he is
bad.
He cannot extricate himself because himself is the problem.
Right. And that really also highlights this difference that Alex is like, asking him, how do we save Trump?
Yeah, how do we get it?
He doesn't understand or doesn't grasp in the moment of the interview, like, that it's just no.
there is a decision is made. Yeah. The line has been crossed.
Yeah. And you should know that.
Yeah. No, that's supposed to be, again, like I keep going back to this. That's supposed to be the luxury of being Alex is when everybody else has to like question where the line is, you get to say my line has already been crossed. Mm-hmm. You know, like when somebody else goes like, oh, well, I will still support George W. Bush, even though I don't support the Iraq war because blah, 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 blah. Right. Mm-hmm. The line hasn't been crossed. But if he did this for Trump or for Alex, it's already been crossed
100 times.
Right. You already I don't even need to ask the question. What's he doing? Don't care.
Yeah.
Hate him.
And
you
now, and now that this coalition is, you know, breaking down and there are more people who he would have presumed to be allies who are now like, fuck this Trump shit.
Yep.
He's going to encounter more and more guests that he thinks are like kind of safe workshopping partners.
Yeah.
And instead they're going to be like, no, you should have moved on from this long ago.
Yeah.
This is, you're holding on to something and it's embarrassing.
I'm sure that their personal perceptions prior to the actual talking to him is still kind of modeled on what they think, on what they think that Alex should be. So they're kind of going in there. I'm sure he's going in there thinking like, yeah, we'll talk about Epstein, you know, because it's wrong to have pedophile billionaires run everything.
Yeah, I don't think most people actually watch his show.
Right.
So they have a caricature of him in their minds.
Yep.
So anyway, Max leaves and Alex decides to start complaining about how this is important stuff.
Yeah.
Mark Levin, he thinks he has a big audience, but he doesn't.
Oh, my God.
He's not as big as Alex.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there are a lot of people in my life that it was people I've known that a society totally collapsed and road warrior, there's no more whatever. And they, you know, eye for an eye that, you know, I saw them on the street. They'd have a problem. But I got to think about what would happen if I did the thing I want to do. Well, I can't do that. Plus, they're not even worth it. But it just must feel good to be Mark Levin. Sitting up there saying he's got the biggest audience when he's not even in the top 20. I mean, I've been number one English speaker in the world, not just news. I've been number one. I'm in the top five. But it's not like it's a responsibility. I'm actually glad I'm not number one now. But then I got to see somebody that's never won the Indy 500. It'd be like if you never won a Super Bowl ring, and I've won like five of them. He's talking about how he's the best football player. And I'm like, dude, you ain't got a Super Bowl ring. I got five. It's like some guy that never even made the NBA telling me he's Michael Jordan. I'm just like, dude, shut up. You are pathetic. Sounds like a little kid. You got the biggest show. It's just like, what? You sound like, you know, 10-year-olds in the boys' bathroom showing each other their dicks. I mean, it's just like, dude, think a little more about what you do, you schmuck. Seriously, man. God help us. Oh, boy.
You okay, buddy?
There's still time to get out of this.
Oh, my God.
No, there isn't. No! Just fucking go!
The long pause before the there's time to get out of this makes me feel like, yeah, you're right. It's that you can escape.
Okay, so it feels like this. Here's what it feels like to me, right? If you are going to torture somebody, right, you can do the regular torture. You can do the pain. You can do the rack. You can do all that stuff, right? But the real way to truly torture somebody is to edge them for like 10 years and still never let it happen. You know, like at a certain point, that pain becomes so all consuming that you're just like, I can only think about one thing. My existence has been boiled down to the simple purpose of coming one time and you'll never do it.
Are you talking like this because Alex talked about dicks?
A little bit. A little bit.
Getting a little blue.
Dicks are on the mind. Dicks are on the mind.
See, I was thinking like you can't really destroy someone without giving them the chance to have everything they want.
Yeah.
Because Alex could have everything that he wants.
Yeah.
If he just would have had the instincts to not go along with Trump for the long haul. And like he's destroyed himself through this.
Yeah.
Like no globalist or MSNBC host could, or a podcast that's done 1,000 episodes. None of those things could do as much damage to him as what he has to do now.
Yeah.
And he had, and it's a risk, because if you were to offer him like a choice,
mm-hmm.
if I could go back in time and be like, hey, here's the choice that you're going to make. One version of it has to be like everything is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And it has to be your own fault.
And he can't. And even if he did go back in time, he would find himself unable to make that same, like he would continue to fill this loop because he is just a shitty person. This is just who now, he is.
You've brought up something interesting.
Yeah.
And I think that if I were Alex Jones.
Yeah.
And future Alex Jones visited me.
Mm.
I would not trust him.
Absolutely not.
So even if he is
I know me.
Yeah.
I'm me.
Even if,
fuck you.
Even if he is giving good advice, like yes. don't do the Trump shit. I think it means I should do the Trump. Is this a globalist hologram?
Okay, first things first. I know your first response is going to be not to believe me. I'm you. Believe me. All right. I know your second response to me saying believe me is going to make you believe me even less. I know. I'm you.
Feels like a double bluff.
Oh, shit. I'm going to go back.
Are you a triple agent or a quadruple agent?
I'm too lazy. I quit.
So, Alex, you know, he's interviewed Max.
Yep.
Now Roger comes in.
Right.
And
how can we extricate Trump from this? Roger, please make it suck less for me to say it's okay to cover up Epstein.
Yeah, it's definitely they're more on a similar bandwidth.
Yeah.
But there's something really interesting that happens right at the beginning of the interview.
Mm.
And that is that Alex steals the donor class versus the public thing that Max brought up.
And so it's an optics issue overall. Roger, we're 2 minutes to break, but just give me a prelude, StoneZone.com. on where you describe where we are. I think there's really a battle going on between the Republican donor class and the consultant class and the 99%, as Max Blumenthal said, of his base. I think the base wants to hear. He's like, I'm helping internationally. People are like, why do you care about international? Because it affects us here. He's totally right. But it's the optics. I think he needs to, you know, stroke the cat, stroke the dog. Tell it. I mean, am I wrong here? We only got a minute to break. Roger?
Alex, anybody who underestimates Donald Trump does so at their own peril.
This is a very interesting moment because Alex has just finished interviewing Max Blumenthal, who's pretty negative about Trump. And now he's pivoting to interviewing Roger Stone, who couldn't be more positive. Some people might look at that and get fooled into thinking that this illustrates a diversity of opinion on this show. But really, the way to understand it is that Roger is preaching the party line and Max is there as a consultant. He has some criticisms of Trump, but Alex pretends that the conversation that they're having is secretly about how Trump can get out of this mess that's everyone else's fault. Mm-hmm. Max's point about the 99% of the Trump base being in opposition to the donor class wasn't a suggestion of a way out for Trump. It was a very clear thing that Trump was on the side of the donor class. Right. In Alex's mind, this whole thing was just wargaming. For Alex, he heard Max say that line, and he immediately recognized that it was good branding. So he's trying to repackage it with Roger and sell it as a way for them to support Trump in the future.
Right.
They can still support Trump if he adopts the optics that he's fighting against the donor class. And all that stuff that the base doesn't like, that's just due to donor class loyalists like Kash Patel and Pam Bondi.
You got it.
The deep state.
It's exactly that.
Alex sees the power of this line in terms of making someone into a scapegoat, so he's taking it.
Yeah.
Like he did with
instinctively
every other catchphrase that he's ever had.
I don't even know if he, I doubt he consciously thought about it. It just happens.
Yep.
Yep.
Muscle memory.
Yep.
I think this is a really good example of how truth and context really don't mean anything to Alex. These words in that order triggered something in his brain and made him think that just might work. So that's what they mean now.
No, it doesn't even bother. It doesn't bother him or ever occur to him to think, is any of that true?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it doesn't bother.
Or what does
him
it
to,
mean?
Right. Okay. So if Trump and donor class versus 99%, it never even crosses his mind. Like, well, Trump is on one of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like in his head, he can just bounce back and forth whenever you want.
Yeah.
You know, whichever's more
thing.
Advantageous. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretend that you're on the 99 side.
Absolutely.
Come
just
on.
Say it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. And shut up.
And shut up. Lie. Stop lying and let other people do the rest of the work for you.
Right. Let me and Roger deal with this shit.
Yep.
So Roger is trying to deal with this shit.
Of course.
So, look, I this Epstein thing just aggravates the hell out of me because I've researched it. I've probably written more about it than anyone alive. And it is a
sounds
hoax.
True.
The idea that Donald Trump has some untoward or inappropriate relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, or that he spent Thanksgiving of 2017 while he was president of the United States with Epstein, is absurd. They've cherry-picked these emails.
Hold
in
on,
a
let's
match.
Come back and describe it. You're absolutely right. Let's come back.
So what Roger is unwilling to recognize because he's deeply invested in Trump is that no appropriate relationship exists, like, with Epstein.
You can't
have an appropriate
he's
one.
You cannot do it.
No. People who commit crimes, even heinous ones, don't automatically deserve to become shunned by everyone in society, and redemption is possible for people. But Epstein was an unrepentant criminal. He didn't seem to think that what he was doing was wrong, and therefore, everyone who knew him and chose to stick around and they had an inappropriate relationship with him by default.
He thought he was allowed to, if not commanded to by higher powers, behave the exact way he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's fine. If you're a guy who, like, works at a shop or something, maybe you can be friendly with an unrepentant sex trafficker. But it's fucking insane to extend that kind of latitude to someone who wants to be president. It's just not okay. There's no possible context where it's like, hey, look, we had a cool friendship.
I mean, even the fictional guy, like, we're out at a bar someday, and he's like, man, I don't tell anybody this, but I'm actually pretty good friends with Jeffrey Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, I don't want to be friends with you anymore.
No, it's a deficiency of character.
That's psycho.
Yeah.
I guess unless he was like, I have a weird, perverse fetish towards, no, actually, that's worse. Yep.
I wonder, I don't know. I think it's not possible.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it's possible to just be like, I fucking hate this guy. I'm just stealing his money. I wonder if that's, I don't think it is.
Yeah.
Because I think when you get into those echelons of money, people don't just give away money.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I wonder if at a certain point there isn't a situation where it should be an automatic, like, animal response of trying to attack this, like, you know what I mean? Like, if he comes near you, if Jeffrey Epstein walks near you, there shouldn't even be the chance for a conversation. You should, like, animalistically attack him
or
with,
run,
like, claw or run. Yeah, yeah. But either way, do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're describing a fight or flight response. This is not a communicate or, like, what's your position or what do you think about what you're doing? It's either I'm attacking you or I'm never seeing you. The yeah. end.
If he asks you for directions on the street, it's only acceptable to give him directions if you don't know who he is.
Yeah. Like, or to give him directions to a hole with a bunch of fucking spikes in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter how you slice it, and however Alex and Roger want to spin whatever emails come out, Epstein first got in trouble with the police in Florida about sexually exploiting minors in 2005, and the whole getting kicked out of Mar-a-Lago shit wasn't until 2007. I can't even imagine what horrible shit Roger knows. Like, he... It's... Blech.
No, this is one of those times where, you know, for the longest time, we've all lived in this space of, like, these conspiracy theories are ridiculous. All of this stuff is overblown or it's a distraction from just being in the government. This is one specific thing where it's like, we all know this. It should be fairly easy to handle, honestly.
Right. And it's still something that people are succumbing to conspiracy around.
Exactly.
And that is definitely true. And yep. It is not, like, I don't think anyone is well served by, like, you know, playing into that.
No.
But there's also, like, so much more that's going on here
yeah.
than any of the other instances
totally.
Of, like, Pizzagate and all that
For
other
sure.
shit.
No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So Alex is, like, he's trying to push this image that the Democrats don't want the Epstein files released.
Sure.
Now that like, it looks like it's going to happen. The Democrats don't want it. They're trying to stop it.
So, Roger, why then did Trump go, say, from releasing? I know it's a whole bunch of suits and crap and bull and everything. I get it. It's not a case. It's not a file. It's a bunch of stuff. Why then move to the deer in the headlights and all the stuff that made everybody pique their interest and created the Streisand effect? And where do you see this going? Because I'm sure you know now the Democrats now don't want to vote to release it. And Democrat judges want to block it being released because we know who's in there. The Democrats.
So the Epstein Files Transparency Act passed the House with only Republican Clay Higgins voting against it. Hmm. And Chuck Schumer called it for it to pass the Senate by unanimous consent.
Sure.
Every single Democrat in Congress and all but one Republican voted for this to be released. Previously, Mike Johnson had not sworn in the new Democratic representative who won a special election in September, blaming the delay on the government shutdown.
Sure.
That representative, Adelita Grijalva, ended up being the 218th signature on the Epstein Act, which is the number that the House needs to require them to take up a discharge petition.
Fun.
There are 435 members of the House, and of the 218 who signed on for this act, how many do you think are Republicans?
Nine.
Four.
Eee.
Every Democrat in the House said release that shit, and the only Republicans who were on board were Marjorie Taylor Greene, who Trump went on to attack to the point where she now quit Congress, Lauren Boebert, Nancy Mace, and Thomas Massey. Any of the other 200 or so Republicans could have signed on at any point and gotten it to the 218 number that they needed, but they knew that Trump was pissed off about this and that he would attack them if they did that.
Yep.
So they were holding back and kind of hoping that Mike Johnson could delay seating the new Democratic rep, or that Trump would be able to scare Marjorie Taylor Greene or sway Boebert away from signing on to this thing. When it became clear that this end result was inevitable, then they all voted for it to
pass.
Funny
how that works.
But if there was another option, it would have been four Republicans and all of the Democrats who were voting for these files to be released.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be able to hit their number. This isn't to say that there's no Democratic politicians that are likely to be implicated by whatever gets released. Just that the idea that the Democrats are trying to stop the Transparency Act is a shameful fiction that Alex is peddling in order to carry water for Trump, who, by Alex's own admission, is covering up the Epstein crimes because billionaires asked him to.
Yep.
This is pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it tells you everything. Like, it admits everything. At the very least, it admits that the Republicans in power as it stands feel like holding Trump accountable would make them so weak that they cannot compete.
Yeah.
Right?
And which that's is part of why Marjorie Taylor Greene was like, I'm quitting.
Right.
Is because she's like, in the next midterm, I'm gonna just have Trump fucking with me.
Yep.
Like, I
nonstop.
Yeah, I've put a big, and you know, sure, some of that's a political calculation on her part, but like, it's true.
Yeah, no,
and
I mean,
of the Republican people in the House know that.
Yep,
they all know that they would be in the exact same position.
No, she is. I don't know. I'm so shocked to compliment her above most of the rest of Congress because this is the right move. You got to go away to come back.
Mm-hmm.
If this blows over, she is positioned, one, with a lot of money now that she gathered in a very short period of time, which tells you a lot about how great government is. And then, like, she's got the bona fides to be like, hey, this guy sucks again. Mm-hmm. I can just scream more. I can go back to work.
Yeah, it's a tactical position that you can say, like, that is the right call.
That's the right call.
Like Nick not voting for Trump very publicly in 2024.
Totally.
Like, it is going to get you some kind of heat, and it might look like you're a loser and you're not part of the cool kid table.
Yep.
But it's ultimately the best thing you can do for yourself.
Yeah. Think 5 years ahead. Don't think next month. Like, that's ultimately what everybody is looking at, is a bunch of people thinking about next month and nobody thinking like, well, what happens in 5 years?
Mm-hmm. And I think that she probably rightly understands that there's nothing left for her within this government.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
She could probably start a show or something and, you know,
write
a book.
There is another thing to, there is another argument to be made that she wasn't making the right move so much as she was pushed off at the right time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She cut bait.
Yeah.
It was like your fishing line is snagged on a branch.
Yep.
Just
let
give
it go.
Up.
Just let it go.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else.
So Roger, he's like, it's all the Dems. It's all the Dems.
It's all the Dems.
The Dems are the ones who are bad here.
Makes sense.
Who really is guilty here?
Who
was on the island? Bill Clinton, Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell, Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, all Democrats. Go to the Federal Election Commission records. Who was taking big bucks from Epstein? Schumer, the Democrat Senatorial Committee. You won't find any money to Republicans, and you won't find any Republicans on
the
island.
And in the WikiLeaks, 7, 8, 9-year-old children for John Podesta's entertainment are being delivered to a secretive house in the woods in northern New York for his entertainment and for Aleister Crowley time. So it's all over them. It's constant. There's never exactly. This is insane.
We're doing Pizzagate. Alex is just harkening back to Pizzagate.
I mean, I feel like that should have gotten boos.
Yeah.
I feel like the people in the studio should be like, boo!
Yeah, Roger should have been like,
yeah, come on, man. Don't do boo.
So Roger can yell about Clinton and Larry Summers and how they're Democrats all he wants, but it just doesn't work as a deflection. No one cares because they're all fine with Clinton and Summers facing consequences, too. No one is doing hysterical radio shows trying to defend Clinton or Summers. And if people were, I'd probably think that they were as sleazy as Roger looks here.
Absolutely.
Like, you are defending someone who's in a position of the same as, like,
yeah,
Larry Summers and Clinton.
There are so many people. There are so many people. There's, like, easily more than 10,000 people. I don't understand why you have to be like, man, this one guy's so special that if we just get rid, like, fuck, just get rid of half of these guys. You got another guy that looks exactly like them waiting.
Well,
right?
Well, if you're talking about Trump, I think for Roger, it's that they're friends of
for
decades.
Sure.
He probably knows some shit about him that gives him leverage, and
for
Trump
sure
is willing to abuse the justice system to get him out of prison for
crimes.
Oh,
hell yeah.
So, like, I think for you know, for Roger, Trump is pretty special.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, again, Roger makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody behaving in Roger's position the way Roger's behaving?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit and he's doing piece of shit stuff.
Yeah. I'm talking about, like, how many other people, or like how Trump or Alex is trying to rally people around Trump. And it's like, man, just get a new asshole, you know, like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many more of them.
I think that Alex might be like, that's why that little tiny kernel of like weird conspiracy thinking gets into your brain, where it's like, there's got to be some kind of blackmail on Alex.
Yeah.
That Roger has that's keeping him in line, because it's so dumb to not leave.
I mean, come on.
But I think maybe like the desire to like not just find another asshole is that it would reveal how thin the game has been for a decade.
Right.
You know, like,
I know. I, and you know what? I think that is, there is a certain prejudice I think that I have there, which is the idea to me that you don't have it already, you don't have the thinness figured out by now, is an indictment of you, mm-hmm, no longer of their abilities. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, if you can't see it by now, I don't know if you're ever going to see it.
No, that's true. That's true. And it, I struggle to imagine who Alex's audience even is,
right,
at this point. Like, I can't imagine someone not finding someone who's a little bit more coherent, makes more sense.
Yeah.
Isn't this embarrassing?
You don't have to go far.
No.
It's a short walk, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw people all over that Rumble.
There's so many people.
Yep. So Roger talks a little bit about the economy, because that's really like,
that's where we're all thinking.
Let's not fucking talk about Epstein. Let's talk about the economy.
Food prices have come down. Yes, gas prices have come down, but food prices are still not as low as they were in the final year of Trump's first term as president. So although things are better, they're not so much better that the American people are yet feeling the incredible job this president is doing. It does take time. It does take effort. Take the tariffs, for example. Back in June, we had the first month in which the American people had an actual surplus, meaning the government took in more money than it paid out. That is an extraordinary accomplishment. But the president can't turn around an ocean liner in less than a year. He's been president for less than a year. And these things do take time. I find these attacks on Tucker Carlson to be repugnant, particularly when they're coming from people who were never MAGA, people who supported Ted Cruz for president, and then they supported Nikki Haley for president. Now they're trying to tell us that we're, you and I, and people like us who were from Donald Trump from the very beginning, that we're not MAGA, people like Tucker Carlson. That is outrageous.
I agree. And so we need, I'm telling you, 5-point boost just on this alone. Trump just needs to come out and say, I support the First Amendment. I support Tucker Carlson.
Trump's already been pretty clear that he's hostile to the First Amendment.
I was going
to
say.
Alex just pretended like that didn't happen. I'm sure he could come out and say he loves speech and Tucker Carlson now, and Alex would swoon, but the whole flag-burning thing was, by Alex's own definition, a flagrant attack on free speech. Trump signed an executive order telling the DOJ to prosecute people for burning flags, which is explicitly protected speech. Alex doesn't care about the principles behind any of this shit. It's all a game. And let's think for a second. If tariffs are driving a ton more money coming into the U.S. government, where's that money coming from? It's not coming from the companies just deciding to shoulder that cost themselves.
They don't tend to do that.
It's coming from you.
They tend to make us do that.
NPR cited numbers from the Budget Lab at Yale showing an increase on average tax for imported goods to the United States at 18% in November, up from 2.4% before Trump got back into office. That price is getting passed on to the consumer, and the tariffs have shown no sign of encouraging domestic manufacturing and a turning away from imports. It's all just a tax.
Ooh.
Also, as of the time that we're recording this, we're still waiting to hear back from the Supreme Court about whether Trump's tariff shit is even legal. He might have committed a giant crime.
The comical ability for them to do a thing for several years, only then to discover it is illegal, is absolutely absurd.
Well, not several years.
Sure.
But it's also, it's interesting because Roger's argument is essentially that these tariffs are bringing in more money.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Right.
But Trump's lawyers, their argument to the Supreme Court to make the case that this isn't a tax,
yeah,
is that it's purely regulatory.
Sure.
And it is not a revenue thing.
Hey.
That's just a coincidence.
Still further. That revenue from you,
mm-hmm,
will not be going to you.
No.
It will be absolutely invested in the pockets of billionaires.
Yeah. What I'm saying is essentially like Roger's position would lose the Supreme Court case,
yeah, yep,
that Trump is trying to make.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. That's it. You know, it is kind of interesting now that we have almost pathological reverse trickle down economics, right? So the imports, mm-hmm, taxed heavily, we pay for that, right? That goes to the government. The government gives that money to billionaires. Billionaires then charge higher prices. So they get double money coming and going, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, it's not good.
It's probably bad. That this is probably not a sustainable system.
But you know what it is? Populist.
That does sound true.
Yeah. So Roger is a little too positive.
That'll happen.
Alex has to recognize the box he's in.
Mm.
He can't pretend like Trump isn't doing a cover-up. But Roger can.
I love it.
And Alex kind of gets a little bit fed up with him.
Because, yeah!
And is, I really think, listen carefully to, okay, this.
I would urge Cash to focus on the mission at hand and drop these lawsuits if he asked for my advice. Look, I think he's a good man. I like him. I supported him for that job.
Just to clarify, he's talking about like Kyle Serafin and Elijah Schaefer getting sued by Cash Patel's girlfriend,
right,
the Israeli honey trap,
right,
Mossad operation stuff.
I don't quite understand what's happening here, but there's a larger mission here. And I don't think the president is getting enough credit for taking on the globalists. I don't think he's getting enough credit for shutting down the border. I don't think he's getting enough credit for the efforts in places like Chicago and Washington, D.C.
Let me just stop you. I know you do dozens of interviews a day. You're a workhorse. Trump wouldn't be in power without you. Our audience knows the great things he's done. This is, on average, very informed people. I'm asking you, big picture, what Trump can do PR-wise to not let the leftist media focus on schisms and then make those distractions the bigger issues. I'm asking you strategy, if you were talking to Trump, about better ways to energize his base.
Understood correctly, Alex is trying to very subtly tell Roger to cut the shit. Roger's acting like Alex's listeners are all marks, and it's a little too obvious. Alex is trying to be as softball as possible while acknowledging that the Epstein situation is actually happening. And Roger can't stop trying to pivot over to praising Trump for other stuff he's done. Like, he deserves credit for taking on the globalists. These tariffs are working.
Have you not seen the tulips this year?
even by InfoWars standards, this is tone deaf.
Yeah, this is
the
bad.
Way Roger's coming in.
Yeah.
And to be clear, Trump does have a PR problem, but he has more problems than just that. It's not that the globalists or the left is whipping up division where it doesn't exist. What's happening is that the Trump coalition is broken because they fundamentally disagree with each other. One side is cool with covering up child sex trafficking rings if it means they can hold on to power. The other side is against that. One side believes that all immigration is evil and all immigrants should be forcefully deported because only white people should be here, while the other side understands that our economy and country doesn't function without immigration. One side believes that the category of white can include Jewish people, and the other does not. These are not fake conflicts being stirred up to destabilize Trump's base. They're differences that have always been there, but they haven't been a crisis. Their media space elevated too many racists, Nazis, and people who actually won't accept sex trafficking ring cover-ups, and now the hardliners in these spaces have the kind of audiences that make them relevant, and they pose a threat to Trump's coalition. Trump has a PR problem in that these fights happening between his fans are nasty stuff, and they reveal that a lot of them are horrible people. But his actual problem is getting some of these people to compromise on things like racism or sex trafficking cover-ups. You're not gonna get these people to compromise. Marjorie Taylor Greene retired from Congress rather than associate further with Trump, who had called her a traitor for signing on to the Epstein Transparency Act.
Yeah.
In her resignation post, she said that one of the reasons she was doing it was because Trump was going to attack her in the midterms, and she wanted to spare people from the ugliness of that.
Mm.
Nick Fuentes isn't coming back onto the Trump team, and he tweeted, quote, "Marjorie Greene was forced out of Congress by Donald Trump for criticizing Israel and voting to release the Epstein files." In other words, Trump destroyed his biggest loyalist for putting America first. This is why I didn't vote. MAGA is dead. For better and for worse, the extreme right wing has created a certain number of figures that know that their brand relies on them not compromising, and that isn't going away. There are a lot of power and money to be had in whoever can carve up the biggest piece of Trump's political corpse. And now that his numbers are dropping enough that even Alex is scared, all of these factions in the base, they all hated each other all along. They're fine with trying to fight with each other to secure a bigger chunk.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what's all happening.
Everybody has now lived through a lot of compromises. Pretty sick of compromises. They suck. So now everybody's really into people who don't compromise, and whoever has the most people who don't compromise is the winner.
Especially among Alex's, like, audience,
yeah.
Who have been whipped up into a frenzy about the idea that there's child sacrifice and blood drinking going on in basements around the world,
yeah.
And that migrants are an invasion force that the left is using to try and, like, overthrow the country. Like, that's the kind of thing that these people have internalized.
Yeah.
And Alex's position is now being like, let's negotiate a little bit on some of this stuff.
Oh, and
don't be so hardline on these devil issues.
Right. And Roger being like, hey, it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are the guys who said on day one, he'll go fuck everybody up.
I wish I had cut this clip out, but I didn't. But Alex and Roger explicitly say, yeah, he said that day one stuff, but we all knew that was campaign stuff.
Great.
Yeah,
cool.
We all knew he was a liar.
We all know he was lying from day one, from when he's a liar.
So what I see here is essentially you have a number of these groups that are all turning on each other.
Yep.
And it's not because of media spin. It's because they hate each other, and
yeah.
They always have,
yep.
And they've put that aside in order to amass power on the right wing.
Because they all correctly assess each other as sucking.
Yeah.
They all suck, they all know they suck.
And they're all using each other, and they know the other people are using them too,
yep.
And they've made an uneasy alliance
yeah.
That is no longer tenable.
Yep.
And Alex is, like, I guess decided that his best bet is just palling around with Roger and pretending...
Endure.
It's not a problem.
Yeah.
Like, the ship isn't sinking. Everything is fine. Nothing to see here. And it's not going to work. Like I said, I don't even know who could possibly be, an excited Alex listener anymore.
I don't know.
Unless you're, like, chemically dependent on Shilajit.
I wonder how much of it truly could be at the level of chemical dependence now for people who are continuing to pay attention to Alex.
There's an emotional, like, dopamine rush that he probably sure. gives people, but that's, like, attainable by a lot of other people now,
you would
I'm
think.
Sure.
You would think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
He is a unique cat.
Right, but I mean, all the good unique stuff is in the past. I mean, yeah, we're essentially in every far right figure is existing now in the same place where they're like, I thought we were cool in the past, and now that I'm reaping, this sucks.
Yeah, and there's a piece of it almost that I can't quite fully articulate, but there's a feeling that I have where, like, in the beginning times of Alex's career, the sellout shitheads were people like Sean Hannity and Rush
sure,
Limbaugh.
Sure.
And that was the, like, whole ecosystem.
The monoculture.
Yeah, they were like, hey, look, we're all conservatives and stuff, but Bush is cool.
Yeah.
You know, hey,
support
the war.
Yeah.
You know, like, they went along and made excuses because of their proximity to power.
Right.
And Alex's whole brand was that he was not that.
He didn't.
He was the alternative to that. And so all of that uniqueness, everything that, like, was fun about him and everything that could draw people to him
yep.
was based on him being the alternative to that. And now, as he's gotten to this stage in his career, he's the Limbaugh.
Yeah.
He's the sellout shithead who's trying yeah. to get you to make compromises with sex trafficking yeah. cover-ups.
He's like Green Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of these other people are the Alexes.
Yep. The young eat the old.
Yeah. But the old also just eat themselves.
Yeah, they suck.
Now, we're talking about eating.
Yes.
Eating ain't cheating. Clinton said that, I think.
I really feel like he did not say that.
It's a catchphrase from the Clinton times. I bet he didn't say it.
I would be hard-pressed to find a clip of that, but I wouldn't be against it.
I really hope it's not like an Andrew Dice Clay joke or something. About
it does
Clinton.
It does rhyme.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
So, eaten. That's what you do with beef.
That's true.
Now, this is the last clip
okay.
of this episode.
All right.
Because there's nowhere to go after this. It's over. It's done. The episode's done. You okay. have to walk away.
It is the last clip.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is also a mic down clip.
Okay.
Alex and Roger have been a little bit snippy because Roger's being too positive.
Right.
And Alex has passive aggressively told him to cut the shit.
Right.
And Roger understands that.
Right.
He gets what Alex is saying.
Let's talk brass tacks.
And so the two of them are having a little bit of a broiling under the surface. We're not having a great time with each
right,
other.
Right, right, right. Subtext is important.
So Alex is talking about his expertise in beef.
Uh-oh.
And the beef industry.
Oh, no.
And how much they love steaks.
So you're saying they're about to have beef?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
This is a gross clip.
Okay.
But it's very funny.
Well, also true that we because of this screwworm epidemic in southern and central Mexico, which used to supply quite a bit of our high quality beef, is kind of off limits. Now, there is still quality beef being produced in northern Mexico. And if there is a way to test that and prove its purity, it could be brought back into our markets. But Alex, think if you or I went out, and we couldn't get a big juicy steak. I mean, good God, I can't think of anything worse.
No, I mean, there's only one thing better than a good piece of ass, and that's probably a ribeye. I'm sorry to be bad, folks. It's just, I mean, like, I literally sit there like, what's better, pussy or steak? It's a hard choice, Roger. Which one do you like the best?
Alex, you know what? This is a hard week in Washington, D.C. I got to say this. You don't pay me to say it. You didn't urge me to say it. You didn't tell me to say it. This methylene blue stuff is great.
That is passive aggressive. That's the best. What do you like better, beef or pussy?
Oh, my God.
Both of them are being passive aggressive to each other. Alex asking Roger that question
yep.
is poking him.
Yep.
And Roger being like, I'm going to do a way over the top and overt sales thing on your show in response to your beef or pussy question. That's passive aggressive. It's
beef or pussy? Methylene blue, my man. That's what I choose. That's what I choose, my boob.
My
Jesus
boob?
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
You got blue on the mind.
Yep.
Methylene blue.
Yep.
So look, there's I was listening to this.
Yeah.
And I heard him say, what do you like better, steak or pussy? And then Rogers' response is, it's been a tough week in Washington.
Yep.
You're not paying me to say this.
I know.
And I'm like, what answer could that be?
Totally.
Alex isn't paying him to say beef?
Yep.
What is going on? And then Roger just comes in.
I know.
God damn. He is a pro.
I was waiting for him to... He was like, it's been a hard week in D.C. You know, you're not paying me to say this. You never pay me to say this. And I'm like, man, this is a guy who's famous for liking pussy more than beef.
True.
He's gonna have some. Nope. Come back with methylene blue.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
No, I am not disappointed at all.
No. Of course. It's very, very funny.
I think it's art.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
It's very, very funny. But I also would have appreciated some horrible Roger Stone story that you know is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Something like, oh, I wish I didn't know the details of that. But tell me a little bit more.
Yeah. I bet if he didn't have to pretend he loves Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he could tell you a fun story. Maybe in private. Yeah. But, like, goddamn. Like, I know that it's not like them yelling at each other.
Right.
But you do get a sense that they are on each other's last fucking nerves. Alex has a fucking job to do, and he is out of balance with what he's supposed to be doing. And Roger does not give a fuck.
All right. So we're on a network, the Alex Jones Show, InfoWars. It's a news show, does hard news, tells the truth. Also, it asks the big questions, like beef or pussy.
Yeah.
That's what's important.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's on the people's minds, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing man-on-the-street interviews, and now that the cuck destroyer's gone, we've lost the answer. We no longer know if it's beef or pussy.
I like my pussy medium well. I don't know what that means.
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, but I think you can understand how, like, it's over.
Yeah.
The episode's done.
Yep.
Alex says something like that.
That's the end.
Yep.
Yep. We're all going home.
No. I had another clip I even cut of like them being a little bit snarky with each other, but it does not matter.
Methylene blue to the answer, beef or pussy. Methylene blue.
Mwah. Brilliant.
Perfect.
It's so ironic too. Like there's a beauty in Roger's awareness that like the meanest thing he could do is an ad right now.
Yeah.
Like it's he gets it. He's an asshole.
Beef or pussy, you're subtext. You're fucking ruining my whole thing by being a graceless shill. Nobody pays me to do this, but I love methylene blue. Subtext, I'm a shill?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, a shill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it indicates that, like, maybe having Roger on is going to be a little bit more dangerous territory for Alex than he wants.
Harder to do, yeah.
So he has these people who are like Max Blumenthal, who are part of what he imagines his coalition to be.
Yeah.
And they don't like Trump, and Alex is going to have to wake up to that. And he has Roger, and I don't think that's home either.
No, not anymore.
No.
Not anymore, because Trump's not home anymore.
Nope. Nope, nope, nope.
He's a man without a country.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically.
Oh, well.
Fuck them.
Patriot.
Yep.
Anyway, maybe Texas can become a country again. So we'll be back with another episode about Alex's continuing deconstruction of what it means to be alive.
Yes. For all of us.
But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo!
And now here comes the sex robot.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.